Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, how about that?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. We want to welcome you this evening to this podcast, Simulcast. We are live with Blog Talk Radio this evening. Unfortunately, we won't be able to go live on Facebook, but we will put that on later, because of technical difficulties, not on our part, but there would happen to be some wires down where I'm at. So thanks to Brother Michael Thomas for setting this up for us. I appreciate you, brother, for that. When they say one man is down, the next man step up. Appreciate it.
Yes, welcome.
Okay. And Michael Thomas is one of our co-hosts, and we also have Brother Satari with us on here, who is the other co-host. And we have a few guests on here. We have Ruth Ministries are with us, and Brother Cliff is with us as well, Ruth Ministries. And I see Bill Gooden just chimed in, so we're going to get this thing started as usual. I'm going to turn this call over to Brother Satavi Jahi, and we'll be right back. Brother Satavi, are you set up, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, you got it.
Okay. As we do each and every week, we come on these airways. We do a reading from Daily Motivations for African-American Success. And the author of that book is Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich and Black Choice. I advise people to definitely read Think and Grow Rich and Black Choice. He was able to get the manuscript for unfinished work that Napoleon Hill was working on, entitled Achievement for Black America. And he took what he had with Napoleon Hill left, and he expounded upon it and created Think and Grow Rich Black Choice. The book he wanted to do before that was What Makes the Great Great. I have both of those books, and there's some very powerful readings alongside this one, which is Daily Motivations for African-American Success. February 28th, Bold Knows. Don't measure yourself by what you have accomplished, or what you should have accomplished with your ability. Ben Chavis, Executive Director of the NAACP, is also one of the co-organizers of the Million Man March. What makes someone great in the eyes of the world are our superheroes and supermen and superwomen who come from another planet of exceptional powers, or are they human beings like ourselves who have used just a bit more of the potential for greatness that is shared by all? You can always do a little bit more than you think you can. In fact, we must become better, or we cease to be alive and to grow. The margin of greatness is quite small. For example, most professional baseball players bat an average of about 250, which means they get one hit out of every four at bats. This is used as respectable average. This is viewed as a respectable average. And if a batter is also a good fielder, he can expect to enjoy a secure career in the major league. Anyone who hits 300, three hits out of every 10 at bats is considered a star. At the end of the season, there are perhaps only a dozen players, one out of 100 in the league, who have maintained a 300 average. And these hitters are honored as the great ones. They get the big contracts. They accumulate athletic shoe commercials.
What is that?
What is the difference between the greats and the also rans. One hit in 20. A 250 hitter gets 5 hits out of 20. And a 300 hitter gets 6 hits out of 20. In the world of baseball, one hit out of 20 is the margin of greatness. Excuse me. Just this slim margin of greatness symbolizes the dynamics of greatness in life. We exercise just a tiny bit more of our potential, minuscule amount, we become outstanding human beings. The purpose of my being is not to win fame or glory, but to be a bit more of what I can be. And that's, you know, very significant right now that I'm doing. That's the season. I try to push myself each day to do one more set of taxes for people and making sure I'm also that I'm doing the best I can to help them get more money back than they normally would get back. And some of the people are getting back huge amounts, such as day-to-day she got back $17,000 on her federal and $9,000 on the state. And, you know, that was pretty significant. And, you know, and but she wanted more. And I tried to explain to her that there's not much more you can get without causing some red flags. So she eventually was satisfied. But that all that I do, people still always want more. So I try to wish you always get my best, do my best, and be able to help people get what they get. So I'm turning it back over to you, David.
I appreciate that, sir. Yeah, I want to explain something to people why you hear these bells and stuff going off. Because the way this podcast was set up, thank God for my brother who was able to do it, Brother Thomas, has set this up. This is not, that's why you got the message a little different today, is because Brother Thomas has set this up for us, because there's a tree down in my backyard that pulled some wires down, and there's got two issues going on at one time. One wire coming down from the pole, but I'm still able to get on. The lights and everything is still on. But one is a telephone line, and the other one is the internet line, the cable line. But, you know, we thought it was an electrical line, but, you know, they may be out there working now, but it's no danger, I don't think, because it says these wires are not as hot as electrical wires. But in any case, we still here, we got here. They can say when you face an obstacle, you can go through it, around it, under it, or over it. But nevertheless, the show goes on, and so does life. And so no matter what hits us, you know, and I would just explain it to my brother is this, you know, when one man down, the next man stands up. And that's how we keep things going. And as we know, there's a lot of things that are taking place today around the world. And, of course, you know, I guess most people have heard by now that there's a war going on and rumors of wars. And, I mean, a greater war, because this man decided to go into this other country. Now things didn't go the way, I guess they say, that things didn't go the way he expected them to go. And so now he's making a higher threat by mentioning nuclear. Well, he unleashes the people supposed to be dealing with them. And so now everybody in high alert right now, because when you got people, like I told some of you the other night, when I was on Roof Ministries, that one time I got so angry. I wasn't drinking. I was sober. I just finished reading the Bible. But I was going to burn 40 people up. Because, you know, because of pent-up frustration. And but thank God, you know, I didn't go through that. But that's the point I'm trying to make is your mind, no matter what state you think you are in, your mind can take you far left or far right. And that's why I say, you know, they say the mind is a terrible thing to waste. But if you don't use your mind, it just is terrible. And but at the same time, you never know what type of pressures of people are under. And you question people, why would somebody do that? Why, you know, because like I say, you don't know what they've been through or how they're going to react to things. Now, you know, power, this man sits in a powerful position based on what I heard, because I don't know, because I wasn't there. But based on this man's past history, he had done some atrocious things to his own people, to his own opposition when it came to elections and things like that. There's people who have been imprisoned and killed based on media resources. But at the same time, he also promised a week ago that he wasn't going to go into that country, but he did.
Added to the waiting room. You cannot talk or listen until...
You know, you deal with a lot of economics and stuff like this. And so in crisis situation like we about to go into or maybe already be in, when I'm talking about group economics now, what do you suggest us black people, melanated people, how do you suggest that, you know, from your opinion, what we should do from your point of view, sir?
Yes, it's the same school of thought that I always held for many years, that we have to take command of things. And I wrote a book some years ago, and it lost it in a house before I could finish it. And it was talking about being prepared for the upcoming emergency. Okay, so this is the new emergency. COVID was the new emergency. 911 was the new emergency. And it talked about being prepared for the upcoming emergencies, and there would be more emergencies coming up. And as we recognize, as Dr. Claude Anderson has mentioned, that how many times the money bounced into Hispanic people.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6.
Before it comes out. We have to... focus on getting to that utopia, that place or that apex where the Jews are, and we can, so that the money bounces in our community 14 times before it comes out. In order to do that, we must take command of our own economics. Without us taking command of our own economics, it'll continue like it is in the social spectrum, you know, whether it's politics, economic, religion, whatever it may be. Things are going to continue to be the way they are until someone deliberately takes command with a plan that will enable us to inherit our own banking system, our own real estate system, our own car buying system, because cars are 20% of the gross domestic product of sales in the United States, and real estate is a major. In addition to the bank that we need to run ourselves and command ourselves and oversee ourselves, we need the real estate unit and the land development and construction unit, another core major unit that takes out a lot of money from the people in construction. In addition to that, the insurance unit. We need to have our own insurance unit. And so there's four places where the money can bounce in our hands four times. First, it bounces in our bank, and bounce into our real estate unit, bounce into our land development construction unit, bounce into our insurance unit where they insure their homes and cars through our insurance company. And then the environmental unit, whereby people recycle their stuff, the same stuff that the city picks up and makes money off of and don't give services to the people that they need. They can give that to our environmental engineering unit operating in all 3,142 U.S. counties. In addition to those four or five is another arm, film production. We have the capacity to bring better film that has been put out there, and we have the capacity to bring in Denzel Washington, Jamie Foxx, Will Smith, all those guys on their own volition to help to produce more economy through our own film production. Also, our education unit, as Malcolm X says, you letting the other folk in the unit educate your children, you know, you're doing something to yourself. So we have to take command of the education also. In addition to that, employment staffing. We can take command of employment staffing and staff all people in jobs, but we have to be in charge of all the businesses. And there are other businesses that I have not mentioned, the media. A huge thing. We have to take command of that too, because if you don't control the airwaves will control you like mm-hmm. they are now. The airwaves are controlling us now. So it's necessary that we take command of major businesses, and there is a way to do that. And we just need to execute the plan, develop the plan, execute the plan so that the inheritance and the heritage of the children will be received. The other part of this is that we need to come together on this religious thing, because we all look at the Bible and the Quran and those things, and those are the best directives, you know, that I can guide anyone to. They're very simple. I was talking to a person a little earlier today, and she was saying that the Bible is down on the fourth grade elementary school level of reading. I didn't comprehend that. Thinking, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find. These things, all things are possible. Simple stuff. And if we could follow those things, especially all things are possible with a great plan, that will get us out of the ditch, and people will be amazed. Some people will be mad. Some people will be, you know, just many different emotions, because we have finally unified with a command in place, a central command in place, a central processing unit in place, a chief administrative mechanism in place, a group in place that is in charge of directing these economics and moving them into position whereby we can control the money as soon as it comes out of the labor forces into our own bank, and when it comes in, into the churches, the black churches, it goes back into European banks on Monday, and we can fix it so that it comes into the black bank on Monday on the church's volition. And as I said, we need to come together. The Islam followers and Christian followers need to unify on this particular thing, because it's all about our money, and we have our money, and we give it to other people. And so we need to have a plan. The plan needs to be organized. It needs to be headed by sane people, people with sanity in their minds, with an objective of killing debt, erasing debt among the people, not just overlooking this idea that the landlords are taking our rent money and putting it into a hole. We get nothing out of it. On the other hand, the mortgage companies are making all this interest on the money on our home mortgages and car loans, and we're not getting anything back but a debt and a headache, and being subjected to rental eviction, mortgage foreclosure, car repossession, major things that really affect our families. So the economics are related to the family base also, and when the family is unstable, the economics are going to be unstable also, and also the sanity in the minds of the people is going to be affected. You know, we're going to have all sorts of attacks. So the idea is to be prepared for the next upcoming emergency. And we're still trying to prepare for the next emergency. And here we have another one. And here we are in the midst of it again. But as you said, David, earlier, we have been resilient, you know, to be able to live through these things in spite of the conditions that we are subjected to.
Yeah, but, you know, brother, you know, it's time. You know, I'm sick and tired of being reactive to what comes our way sometimes. Sometimes we're going to have to take up, like they say in the church, take up your own cross and carry it, you know, because people can throw all kinds of darts at us and come from all different angles. But it's time for us to prepare ourselves, be prepared, like you mentioned. But you mentioned a whole lot of different industries and services. And I got Brother Cliff on here, too. I'm going to bring him up because he has a system. And when you were speaking, I was looking at that will, because, like you said, education is one. He was dealing with economics. He was dealing with insurance companies. He was dealing with all sorts of things. And, yes, it already does take a plan. It takes unity. It's taking us working with us. And thus far, we have survived because we have worked with us. You know, we have looked out in spite of what people have said about us. But we would never have made it if we did not look out for one another, share with one another. But, you know, that was then. They did what they had to do to survive. But now, this is a complex world. This is the computer age, man, where people, what they call them things, analytics and this, that they can predict things, you know. Like I say, me and Bill, me and Bill came from a celebration this past Saturday. And we went to Applebee's. And when I got home, Applebee's, you know, on my cell phone, how was Applebee's? How much money did you spend at it? You know, this, that, asking all these questions. First of all, they knew I was there. They know when I went there, and they know when I left there, too. You know, and so this is the type of world we're in. And since this world is in this type of predicament, then, you know, like I'm trying to be solution-oriented. So, Brother Cliff, let me ask you this. You heard what Brother Thompson was saying about all of these different things. If we can do these type of things, then we can almost kind of control our destiny. And by this system you have been talking about for some time now, about all, like I say, you know, I'm trying to fuse these two systems together. All the things Brother Thomas was saying, and with this well that you have behind us, how doable is it with your system, what Brother Thomas is saying, if we can come together and put all of these components together and as a people start making all of these things come to fruition, like having self-control, having our own industries? You know, we did it before because we had built colleges. We had built great communities at one time. You know, even in my upbringing, we had our own, where I came from, Baltimore, Maryland, we had our own black hospital. You know, we had a lot of things was owned and operated by us. So it ain't like it's these things are that far-fetched. We have done these things in worse conditions that we are in now. So my question to you, sir, with the system that you had in mind, that you have in mind with the spokes of this will, how doable from your perspective can we come together as a people and start operating on a system of us and we?
Well, I would say that the key word in all of that is cooperation. And first of all, even though I throw this thing around a lot, the fact of the matter is the design is not mine. The design actually goes at least as far back as 1935 and Mary McLeod Bethune and the National Council of Negro Women, when she gathered 20 black women's organizations across the United States together, put them in a coalition, and structured the National Council of Negro Women in what was described as a spoked wheel arrangement. And the idea there was to create an atmosphere in which, or at least a structure in which, these different organizations could see themselves all contributing on an equal basis, on an equal level to what the overall plan of the National Council of Negro Women was. So the fact is we have done something like this before. The idea of unity without uniformity is not a new one either. I first heard it back in around 2008, 2009, when there were a number of international Pan-African organizations that were attempting to come together in what would become the Pan-African Diaspora Union, or PADU. It ran out of steam, but we're hoping to be able to bring that back up again on the international level. So cooperation is possible and it has been done. It's difficult because there are so many things that are placed in our face in this modern society. And analytics is one way that they are able to find those people that they might be able to target with this kind of propaganda. We're given all this propaganda in an attempt to separate ourselves from each other and to create rifts between us and to convince us to see the differences between us as a detriment. The fact is that the differences between us are a strength if we are able to coordinate them together. Anyone who is a sports fan and watches a football team. You've got everyone from the big uglies on the offensive line, who are usually 300-plus pound guys with their gut hanging out over there. They got a serious case of Dunlap's disease.
I didn't say talk about me, man. I said talk about
me. Well, I was talking about myself there, too.
Okay.
But you got those guys, but they have a specific skill. They're different from the guy that takes the snap and drops back and throws. The most important thing for him is his eyes and his arm, and to some degree his feet. Then you've got other people who are the fastest guys on the team. None of these people are the same. They're all different. They all have different abilities, different skills. Even the big guys on the offensive line, they've got skills. They utilize those skills along with the quarterback, along with the running backs, along with the receivers, and they use them together. That's how a football team wins. Sometimes with the same players who lost on other teams because they go to another team where a system has been put in place that utilizes their skills and abilities. You see it in the NBA and basketball all the time too. Tall guys, short guys, space eaters, skyscrapers, little jitterbugs that run around the floor all over the place and can't catch them while they're dribbling the ball. There are different types of players that are able to coexist together and have committed to work together to achieve a common goal. Brother Thomas was talking about a number of different industries just within the economic sector, mm-hmm. from banking to various forms of finance that assist in how banks work their money, to investors, to regulators, to insurance, all these different organizations that exist in the financial industry. And if they work together in a positive way and take advantage of the things that they are good at and use their differences in a team kind of a concept, then that economic model starts to trend, starts to work for us. The same way you take the economic group and you combine them together with, say, your lawyers who can then show them how to do what they do economically and not run afoul of the law. Or if someone sues them, the lawyers are there to protect them. You've got the media that helps to spread the word about what these different industries and all are doing. And you can pretty much go anywhere within our community and find out how these different sectors of our community or clusters or functional groups, or I used to call them spokes because of the diagram, how when they are attempting to accomplish what they need to do, they oftentimes wind up depending on each other to help them achieve their goals. But too many of us have allowed the quote unquote Willie Lynch syndrome, whether it was a real or fictional letter or not. The fact of the matter is the principle is still there. The idea was to make us start to see the differences between us as negatives instead of positives, to turn us against each other based on those perceived differences. And as was said at the end of the letter, if we implement this system well, they will continue to use the system on themselves for the next 300 years, and we don't have to do anything more. And pretty much too much of our community has allowed that to happen. Now, there are those of us who are serious about bringing our people together, coming together, and learning from each other. And the more we can get that, the more we can get of that, then the likelier we will be to achieve success in not only liberating our people financially, but also lifting us up culturally, increasing our understanding and our knowledge, and achieving the real liberation.
You know, Brother Cliff and Brother Thomas, you know, I appreciate both of y'all for your visions, because what y'all have spoken about is, to me, is very dope, because we even have an example right here with the National Black Unity News. You see, we got people from all walks of life who has come together for the sole purpose of uplifting us. And we use one vehicle It could be that same thing called the circle. And we have all of these people putting in their resources, their lifelong skills and talents, and then we assimilate, and then it goes out into the world, you know, and it's a powerful tool. So, you know, so all of the things that both of y'all mentioned is doable if and only if and when we can come together in spite of our differences, whatever religions, backgrounds we come from, because we got people in the paper that's Muslim, Christians, some don't believe at all, so probably, you know, but I know one thing, but what they do, what we do have in common is this. They have a heart, the will to work together and to share information with one another, to uplift us as the people. And you know, and that's what sustained us. We've been around five years now. And so, you know, all of those things are mentioned by Brother Thomas and Brother Cliff, like I say, is dope because we're doing it with the National Black Unity Youth. And there's people all over this country together. Now, we even were talking about things even because, like I say, media, I use media because that's my expertise, my field. And even podcasting, like a lot of people, we've been talking about these podcasting. Yes, you can do individual podcasting, but we came up with this other concept. And I'm going to use the same system that Brother Tom was talking about. We have Wayne Rand, who was an accountant. We have Brother Tom, I call him an economist. Then we had Mr. James Silver, who dealt with insurances, but they're still dealing with finance. Then we have Sister Lila Arthur, who dealt with insurances in a different way of doing insurance. Now, they actually already, it's already in place now. They coming together, and all of them dealing with finance from different ways of doing it. But they putting a scope together themselves, and they're going to do a podcast together. And so, and these are, this is their skill set. Now, can you imagine the person who will hear their podcast coming from all of these different angles? Whatever your needs may be financially, they can pretty much help you with that. And then there's, I was speaking to some sisters that's together, and I spoke to several sisters, some of them on here right now, about doing a collective podcast of dealing with women issues. And these women had, most of the women on, they had wrote books about them and things like that. And they, some of them had lived through a lot of stuff themselves. Now, can you just imagine when they listen to a podcast? And I'm just telling you this, man, I do research. I know sometimes, I know you don't think I do, but I do research. And I listen to a lot of women podcasts. And you have, even on television right now as we speak, there's groups of women that come together. I don't know the name. The Talk, The View, and all that. I think that's some of the names of them. But these women will talk about any subject. You throw something in front of their face, and they'll bring their opinion about it. But can you imagine with a group of women who got expertise in these fields, where they know what they're talking about, just because anybody can throw an opinion out there, but it's a difference from when somebody knows what they're talking about. And so... And so can you imagine a person listen to a group of women like that, and they got issues, and you got people who wrote, like, say, several books on them, so they can buy the books or services, or they can contact these women in person and get that, you know, get their questions answered, or you have some counseling with them one-on-one. So things are, we are beginning to organize, ladies and gentlemen. Don't never let nobody say, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. It may be small, but, you know, a lot of great things come from small beginnings. Mm-hmm. Some of the major corporations out there, IBM, and so many of them, I used to have a little thing, a picture of them. And five or six of them started out of garages, these Fortune 500 companies. And so, like I say, in small beginnings, great things can happen. We don't know what's going to happen 6 months, 2 years, or 20 years from now. But if you don't do something, if you don't plant some seeds right now and make things happen right now, because tomorrow ain't promised to you. In Baltimore, we're losing a lot of people who have put in a lot of great work. And they go, and they're leaving us one by one. And like I said, we don't tell our stories, if we don't follow their blueprints, it's gone forever. And so, again, I want to thank Brother Cliff and Brother Thomas for letting us know that, you know, all things are possible. if we believe in it, if we work together. But I want to change subject for right now. We can bring this back up a little later on, those who want to ask questions or something like this. But there's a hot issue right now, and this is a serious issue. This thing going over there in, what's the name of that country? Brother Cliff, what's the name of it?
Ukraine, you're talking about.
And Putin, and how he's invading this country. And based on the news, because that's what I go, you know, based on the news, it didn't go as well as he expected it to. The people took a stand. You know, the leader took a stand. And the people have the will to fight now. So their leader is there, not just because of him, but this is their home. This is where they raised their family, where they worked at. Now it's being bombed up. Soldiers are running through the streets. Half of the women and children are walking away by car, any means necessary to go to these other countries for safety. And just last year, we also seen almost this thing in this country where they almost tried to overthrow the government. And they had a whole lot of apparatus in place to do so, too. And so don't think that this won't come to us. And now this same gentleman, and that's the wrong terminology, by saying gentleman, excuse me, apologize for that. Well, this person is not only do his vape, but then he also mentioned nuclear. He said he's going to unleash his nuclear team. They think the terminology, but the same principle, to be prepared to use nuclear weapons. Now, every country, that quote, everybody is, especially all the major countries in the world. Because if you know, if he pushed one, we got to push ours, and others got to push theirs as well. And those of us who live on down the East Coast, you can see we take things for granted sometimes, but those who live on the East Coast, especially in Maryland, we're close to D.C., the NSA, all these major intelligence things that are surrounding us. And then we're going to be one of the first targets, New York, and places like that. But I'm just saying this. Don't put nothing past man and man corruption, because we have seen thus far what man will do and has done. And so I'm going to stop with my buddy, Bill Gooden. You know, Bill, I know you've been out here for a long time, and you stood up for many things locally and nationally. But this thing is way over there in Europe, and I don't want, you know, people could accuse me of this, but, you know, because it's a fact. You know, my mission is for us black people. And I have nothing against any other race or group of people. You know, I'm no respecter of persons, just like, you know, God is not. And I have love. I don't have nothing against any man. Matter of fact, some will say, I had more people done things to me done by black people than other people sometimes, but I couldn't say it that way because, you know, people had systems in place that always helped me, did something to me. And but in any case, in Africa, there's been wars, there's been genocides and all this that's going on, and they don't get this type of media, don't get this type of press. But when other folks get in trouble and start doing these things, then it's major news. The whole world is all upset and everything like this, you know, because they look like them. And that's the way I see it. And these are the same people that instigate wars and rumors of wars ever since I've been there anyway. Day one has been doing this thing all the time, but they get away with that. But now it's on them, one-on-one. And I want to ask you your opinion, sir, because I value your opinion. How do you see this war affecting us as the people? And what, in fact, I just want to know your take on it, period. Bill Gooden. I don't know, you hold still, Bill. It's not like you're unmuted, but we can't hear you. I think we had this problem last week again. You know, you might have to go back in. You still? Well, try, hey, Bill, try to log out and come back in. Whatever you did last week, try to do it again. And I'll be right back to you. Dr. Pender, I saw you moving around. Can Can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. I was moving around because you hit it right on the head. You know, like when the Europeans have a war and they fight and kill one another, they get it to be sympathetic. Oh, these poor people, they have to be moved here and there. And as you said, in Africa, it's been going on for years. They're taking our people out by the numbers, mm-hmm. and no one says anything. It's one of those things is we want to survive, but we don't care anything about you. And so that's been the trait of the Saxons for years. In fact, I spoke this past week, yesterday, at two churches for Black History Month, and I made mention as to eugenics, how that the system itself have built in eugenics to get rid of us as a people. At one time, as I think I may expose, and we were 25% of the population, and now we're 13% and dwindling. And as Cliff just mentioned about the Willie Lynch letter, they have induced various forms of contempt into us through the process of assimilation and have us to hate our own selves. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's so much killing on the inside. Until we learn how to play judo with that rascal and appreciate one another, we're going nowhere fast. But that's, you hit it right on the head, and I greatly appreciate it. And by the way, how's everyone doing tonight? I hope you guys are doing fine. I'm happy as a runaway slave. Feel great.
Wow. Okay. All right. Bill, when you're ready, you can just chime on in. I know you're trying to call in now. But I'm going to open up the doors, you know, the phone, the lines, whatever you call it, and, you know, because I know everybody has an opinion. But on this line, we have quite a few great people on here from my perspective who I have a great deal of respect for, and they've been putting in work for a multitude of years as well. So if anyone wants to chime in on what we've been talking about economically, especially about this war that's going on and how you think it will affect you, how not you, but us. And because I myself personally think like this, why they kind of taking a little glimpse away from us. This is the time, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, when their eyes are not on us, that we really need to be organizing. We really need, I mean, even if they had their eyes on us, we still need to do this thing. See, you know, it's not I don't think we have to go underground because that's a difficult thing to do anymore, you know, because of the technology. We have to be straight up, straightforward. You know, this is what we are. Brother Cliff mentioned the Willie Lynch letter. And I suggested to him today that we need to have that letter republished. Let's talk about this letter. I'll take a good look at it because we need to know how they operate against us and things like that. But at the same time, people going to do, they put systems in place. But, you know, if we had our own system, like Brother Michael Thomas is talking about, what Brother Cliff is talking about, okay, in spite of what they do, we just, like I say, took our money, support one another, recognize one another, respect one another, and most important, love one another, in spite of what's going on around us, make it a concerted effort to work with one another. It's more serious than just you. This is about us. It's about our survival. And for anybody to respect us, and even though we're not looking for that type of respect from them, but, you know, we have to learn to respect ourselves and our strength that we have. We know we have so much power within our own self. You know, we have so much creativity, and we have everything we need. But, you know, at the same time, it's a concerted effort to keep us apart. And that Willie Lynch theory, it does work because it has worked. And like Dr. Pender just said, until we let go of some of these old ways, put a lot of these differences on the side and get down to business. So anybody who, while Bill trying to get himself together, Vernon, and we got Walter Murphy on here, Leroy McKenzie on here, I'm calling you out, Rico Crowley, Ruth Ministry, Trudy Williams.
David, I want to jump in real quick and real short. How's everybody?
This is
Walt Eugene Dempsey Murphy, the Managing Director of the National Black Unity News. And I want to come on to kind of piggyback on what everyone else has already been discussing. You know, the fact of economics and how it plays to any community. I don't care what community is that. It has a a major effect on the quality of life of whatever community that's involved with. But secondly, there's a thing about war. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, you know, throughout history, you know, we've had documentation of Europeans fighting Europeans and Africans fighting Africans, Asians fighting Asians, and South Americans fighting South Americans. And that's the way it goes. There is something about neighbors and acquisition and loss and condemnation and the way one just lives. I'm talking about just the fact of, you know, what the laws are going to be. And so, but there is this one thing that's really kind of plaguing me when it comes down to this, especially in these last years. Of course, there is greed, ignorance, covetousness, and world domination involved in a lot of what's been going on, especially with some of these dictators. However, there is this other thing about the 3,500, the richest people on this planet. It is a shame that whenever there is war, there's a whole lot of money being made. Back to you, David.
All right. You hit that on the head, you know, and like I said, there's a lot of people who have this mindset because they gotten away with a little. Now they want to get away with a lot. And this trickled down right into our own neighborhoods. You know, like I said, I like to keep it real, man. Our justice system and everything else, you know, how we dominate the jails, but that's the only place we do. And how they can imprison us and put us to work. And, you know, it's a new way of slavery. But we have so many issues, you know, that is set up against us. But, you know, like I always say, they're going to do them. It's time for us to do us now. And you know, I hate to keep, you know, like I said, I'm not, you know, we bring up problems so we can bring solutions to them. And we just mentioned there is a solution. Because like I say, Brother Tom just spoke about Brother Clippers. I just spoke about one. Dr. Pender just talked about one. And Vernon, you got your hands up. You want to say something, sir?
Yeah, like two things. I guess I'll start with the Willie Lynch speech. It said if you can teach this to your children, to do this to black adults. And in the Willie Lynch speech, it said that it would reiterate itself for like 400 years. We almost approaching the 400 year mark, but we just haven't passed that mark. And I think once that happens, you know, we begin to, you know, get our mindset is beginning to change. But I think like after the 400 years to change, you know, we're snapped back. But it's interesting in how that Willie Lynch speech was created. You know, I don't know what system had created that, but I never knew that. Somebody can write words on a document and it can control a nation. I mean, it's not like they use medicine. It's not like they use weapons. It's words on a paper. It's like a system.
Theories, yeah.
Actually works.
Yeah, theories. Some theories do work. And because they tested them and they tried them and they become true. And you know, as far as the system is concerned, but you know, with anything that Dr. Pender just said, flip the switch on it. You know, sometimes what's thrown against you, sometimes you can turn it around and use that for your strength sometimes. What don't kill you can make you stronger sometimes. So since we know, like I say, but of course we don't know. I was telling Brother Flip earlier, we need to talk about that letter. You know, whether they say it's real or not, but you know, them principles. It's working on us, has worked on us. But at the same time, we need to learn. And this is serious, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. You know, we got brothers like Cliff and Brother Thomas on here who has programs. And they can work if we working. This system, we can do these things. We can bring unity. And just like I mentioned, you know, we can bring people together who have like minds, join forces. Just like me, I need to be joining with other media sources. And Brother Cliff have a spot for that. So when, you know, when the time comes that he'll bring in all these different other medias, you know, maybe we can sit down and have a powwow. Let's talk. Let's reason together. So that, because we know, see, if we in there, we know it. But see, one thing about myself is even back in the day, when I saw somebody had another newspaper or a little magazine or something that they were trying to do, I didn't see it as competition. Because I knew we own less than 1% of the media. That's room for all of us. And we need all the help we can get in media. So I embraced them. I called them, hey, what can I do? Can I help you with this, help you with that? But unfortunately, a lot of people that was already in media, when I came along, I was pushed off, you know, no, I don't even want to talk to you. I only want to do you. And that's the Willie Lynch thing, you know, what I'm talking, you know, me, myself, and I, because every man for himself. But, you know, we can't think like that. Because other people think like that, that don't mean we have to.
Right.
We don't need to.
Right. And the second thing, I just want to get feedback to see what others think about this. A lot of times when things happen in our community, happen between black and white, it's always the black person that goes to try to rectify the situation. I never seen, you know, the white people come to us first and say, brothers, let's come together. It's always a black person that does that, to stand up first. And that just puzzled me. I don't know if anybody else has seen that. But, you know, that's just a question that I had. You know, if they are so sincere, you know, we're sincere about unity. We don't hold no grudges. You know, I'm saying as them as a whole. There's a few, you know, Caucasian people or white people that, you know, that doesn't live by those standards. But for the majority of them, they stand office. You know, they're not the first ones to say, let me go to an African-American community and let me start a food drive. Let me do this. And they initiate it themselves. It's always us going to them.
Well, Vernon,
so what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to give you my thoughts right now. You remember the past election and all the things Trump has done to this nation. And how he stood up against us in so many ways and said so many different things. And what to me was kind of amazing, but I didn't know it was that serious, you know, I mean, that many. But then, you know, after all the things he'd done, you know, still half the people in this country voted for him. So what kind of mindset would do that unless it's, like I say, to me personally, it's survival. They have been sold a bill of goods about us that we're going to overtake them. We're going to do to them what they have done to us. We are animals. We when we get into their communities, we're going to kill them. We're going to pillage, you know, we be half of people. And unfortunately, a lot of them subconsciously really believe this. Some of them conscious didn't really believe it. And fear. We were talking about this morning, me, you, and Brother Murphy. We're talking about the fear factor. You know, just the real fear is so powerful. And we know what overcomes fear, but not a lot of that going around. It's not popular. Fear is popular. You know, that's what sells newspapers. That's what the media gets. You know, as long as they can introduce fear to you, it sells. But you put people only talking about making good changes, talking about love, bringing people together. You ain't gonna get that in no media. Okay, well, he great sign off. Bill, if you can come on, man, you still, you know, if you can. But he says he's having trouble. But, you know, Vernon, anybody else want to answer Vernon's question? You know, his brother's reaching out.
Yes, I'd like to talk to that. The reason, you know, that we stand up, you know, is because the media brings police, you know, and if you would examine all these situations where we're standing up, you know, it's a police situation, it's not a university situation, education system situation, or any other situation inside the social spectrum, it's always the police. You see, it's guns. you see? And so it's an attack. It's always an attack, you know, that brings the uprising, but we don't see any attacks about black people coming up with the bank and economics and controlling counties of money and counties of businesses. You don't see that. And that's what we're advocating, you know, that we see the good side, not the 911 emergency side, because that goes to back to what I said about preparing for the coming emergency. Okay, we may have an emergency tomorrow where the police kill someone else, that kind of thing. But if you look at all those scenarios, it's police based, you know, and we are glamorized by police. That's what my opinion is.
That's all the time we get media too. When one of us get killed and stuff like this, then they put a light on that. But they won't put a light on us right now. They won't rally and come marching the street. Yeah, economics for black folks. You know, they won't do that for better schools and stuff, you know.
Right. And I want to know why they can't come to us.
I don't think they want to. I'll be honest about it. I don't think they want to. Anybody can jump in, y'all know that's
yeah, there is absolutely no need for you to come to the black community to spend your money to upgrade them when you don't need to, especially when you're Asian or especially when you're from a Scandinavian country. Why? What advantage is this to you other than feeling pity or feeling some other type of less than way? Okay, understand something. You know, this world is really about survival of the fittest, even amongst ourselves. We are about that. Don't get it wrong, ladies and gentlemen. We have an animalistic nature about ourselves, and that's the way it is. The strong will survive. However, you know, we do take care of the weak. And so it's this concept that we've got to take care of our own. And if you don't take, put it like this, let me give you a good example, ladies and gentlemen. 90 years old, any one of you, 90 years old. Some of you are going to have some people that's going to be around you that are going to take care of you. Neighbors, friends, mostly family, sometimes cash money. We'll have it so that you will have somebody around you so that you can be taken care of at 90 years old for transportation, food, clothing, shelter, all right? But what about those who don't? Ladies and gentlemen, don't get it wrong, okay? It's about stuff like that, okay? Basic common sense stuff, okay? And at the end of the day, if you look around at your family, you can see that they're lacking. Your family, don't look too far away, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking, if you're on this call, I'm sure that you've got somebody in your family that needs financial or mental or some sort of help. And so when you talk about revenue and time and energy and effort, most of us can't get past of our own neighborhood, our own family. And so it's a lot going on with that. But understand something, ladies and gentlemen. It's about love and understanding. And we can get through most of this stuff. But, you know, the dollar bill goes a long way. But what's more important is that life is the way it is, and you have to take care of yourself.
Okay. I haven't heard from you, Trudy, today in Ruth Ministry. Y'all want to chime in? If you do, just unmute yourself.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
Okay.
So, you know, I like to be last because I like to hear what everyone else has to say and then give my opinion on what the conversation is. The topic was about Ukraine, Putin, and war. And then we went to unity, but here's my take on it. When you start talking about the media, it's about propaganda. Like they say, stock up your food. And all they're doing is holding it. It's manipulation. They're manipulating us to run out here and kill each other for toilet paper. They COVID didn't last long enough. So now we have another crisis. Okay, Putin. Vladimir Putin, former KGB agent. He's a thug. Trump, a thug. They all come from this mafia background, leverage. Anybody that didn't like Putin, they ended up in with in the water at the bottom floating with the fish. When you start talking about rumors of war, I'm going to have to go here. Spiritually, Revelation 6, 3, and 4 talked about that's going to happen. We're going to hear about this. This economy is going to be turbulent. Everything is going to be upside down. So what we're going through, put on your life jacket, your seat belt, because it ain't going away. It's one crisis after another. When you talk about why do we not go, blacks go to white people, but white people, because they feel superior to us. But one thing that we must understand is, through their superiority, when we were slaves, when we were held back, which actually started in Africa, but when it came here, that notion, rhetoric, hyperbole, whatever you want to call it, they created crime and drunkenness and all of that, because even if you don't know, can't cite a case, we were slaves. We didn't have any freedom to do anything. Now, when you want to talk about unity, that's the only thing that's going to save us, God. God is the only thing that is going to save us. You can change the economics. You can go to different systems, capitalism, socialism, whatever. What we have to understand about other cultures, they patronize each other. We still have not learned that lesson. That's why all of these agendas or groups have failed, because we still have not learned the lesson that their culture. They will pass by all of us. They're not going to spend no money in our economy, but we kill ourselves to give them our money. That is the problem. And last that I want to say is, and I write my notes as y'all are talking, unity, economics, and self-sufficiency. Back in the day, we used to barter. We used to share. We used to take care of each other. Mm-hmm. We were our brother's keeper. Now, people are so happy to say that's their problem. You know people that are hungry. You know people that are cold. You know people. I mean, this is not pie in the sky. The poor will be with us always. Mm-hmm. But we are responsible for helping others and taking care of others. So we can come up with as many plans as you want to, but we will still fail to come together. And that could be Willie Lynch, who was a slave owner himself, that came up there, that injected or used that doctrine to be able to be prisoners of ourselves. It's all in the mind. And we could keep saying and saying and going around and going around until, guess what, Bernie, you're right. I think it's 250 years. We got another 150. That won't be in my generation. It may not be in my grandchildren's, my children's generation before we realize that we need unity and we need God. But I'm done. That's my two cents.
All right. I was listening to you very carefully. But when you mentioned God, and I do know one thing about God, he works through people. And the people will listen, you know, to God and live on God's principles that, you know, like somebody already quoted, all things are possible. And I recall Jesus and them saying things like this, you know, these things that he did, we can do greater if you believe it. And to enough of us come together, you know, just like we're doing right now, this small group right here. And we went out into the world and demonstrated those things that we talk about and show the world that these things are possible. And then, because like I say, we're not the only ones who are starving or hungry for unity. We got people all throughout the diaspora, you know. You know, I think we finally coming around to the conclusion that no matter how much money you make, how well you can sing, how much you can dance and do all of these different things, you still a black person in other people's eyes. And it has been demonstrated in the media. You can just look at Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, and everybody else who pulled and made some type of fame or fortune has been scandal, has been demonized through the media. And trying to let this person in. And so, you know, this is my stance on this. That's how I operate, by divine inspiration. Because, you know, based on David Murphy himself, you know, I have a lot of shortcomings. And unfortunately, I did a lot of things with my own thinking, my own ways. Things didn't work out too well. But when I applied certain principles, I'm talking about godly principles, and that's where things begin to happen. And this, that, and I think a lot of people on here operate on those type of principles as well. And it says one of us put 1,000 to flight, 10,000 to flight, two of us and three of us come together. And it's written in scriptures too, and two or three come together in my name, that we can do great and wonderful things. So here we are with a small beginning. Remember I just said earlier that a lot of things started in garages and things like this, you know, together, which is also on here. This is my belief because, like I say, you always say this term and not where I sit. You know, I'm deemed as a publisher of the National Black Unity News. And most of you on here right now are participants in that publication. And a lot of your hearts is so, to me personally, a lot of your skills are great and wonderful. And your mindset, to me, has been renewed to a certain level. And we still students. We still learning. But at the same time, we are all hungry for unity. We are all hungry for our children and our children's children. We want to make, that's why we're on here right now, trying to discuss, you know, this thing. Because I'm a student, I've learned from you all, from your point of view, because I only have one point of view, and that's mine. And my point of view, you haven't got me too far as far as life. But, you know, but like I said, when I use God's principles, things begin to happen. And then come to find out, hey, I ain't by myself. There's a lot of people out here who feel, and not think the way I do, but feel the way I do. And they rely on God as well. And I got a couple of hands up. But, you know, but I'm going to move right on to Ruth Ministry. Unmute yourself.
Amen. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Honor. Good evening.
It is so great to hear everybody speaking. It's so good to hear a lot of important stuff being spoken about tonight. And I believe that it is time for us to, if we haven't prayed yesterday, I believe now is the time to start praying and start putting our prayer to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to work because faith without works is dead. So we have to not only pray, but we also have to do the work. And I believe if we're going to ever have unity, we have to put down our differences. I can remember growing up in right here in Brooklyn, where I was born in 1964 and growing up thereafter. I can remember there were times that on one block, each block had their own block association. And nobody could come on that block and do anything if you didn't belong on that block. And each block supported each block, and each family had, you know, everything was in common. And somehow we allow people to throw some bones out there somewhat on the street. And so many people have ran after those bones and begin to turn on one another, just like animals do. And I believe what's happening, even with the Willie Lynch and all the things that, you know, have stricken us we're picking all that stuff up and we're living it out in our daily lives, whether we see it or not, some consciously and some unconsciously. If we can focus back on a lot of things that good happened in our past, then we can maybe move forward into the future. Because I'm for unity. It doesn't matter what your religion is. You know, I'm for unity. You know, we may get into maybe religious talks, but if that religion talk that we have is going to separate us, then guess who lost? Both of us. So we can sit down and reason together and start moving on what we keep saying we want to do. I'm hearing we say what we're going to do, but we're not doing anything but saying what we're going to do. And I don't believe we need more programs. I don't believe we need anything else. We need to just about moving on what we got already. Because there is a lot of things happening. Right here in Brooklyn, there's a lot of black stores coming back up. And when we begin to see these things, we need to start praying for those that are running these stores, that they don't have somebody come by and try to bring them back into somewhat slavery to sell drugs or to do illegal things in the store. That's what took down a lot of stores. People started coming in and say, hey, you want to make a little extra money? So we need to start, you know, supporting these stores in our areas and start praying hard for these stores and maybe get an opportunity to talk to the bosses to try to encourage them not to fall victim to somebody coming in and say, you want a little extra money. Now, we see a lot of stores right here on Fulton Street in Brooklyn. There's a lot of black stores and a lot of young guys have it. And I believe that's one of the biggest problems that we have is we're not praying and moving out in our prayers and believing God is going to be there to help us go forward in those prayers. Now, I'm for unity. You know, I might get attitudes and upset because I see a lot of things that bother me because we're talking a lot, but we're not doing much. So let's start moving out.
Amen. All right, Brother Cliff, you got your hands up as well.
Unmute yourself. Brother Cliff.
There we go. Okay. I guess now we got it. Okay. First of all, I see you, Mama Trudy. You're a counterpuncher. You want to see where everybody is, and then you're going to go.
Now, that's strategic, Cliff. You know,
yes, it is. Absolutely. It absolutely is. A word that keeps popping up in my head, not only when we're talking about how we deal with each other, but also how we're looking at the world news that's going on right now, is the whole concept of manipulation. And we often still allow ourselves to be manipulated, even in terms of how we look at the conflict that's going on in Ukraine right now. I have a number of friends who are leftists, socialists, and a couple who are communists who I have a great deal of respect for. I don't know whether they all necessarily feel this way, but there are some who look at it and they'll say, well, this is a matter of a socialist country that's making a move into a country, Ukraine, that has been either rumored or known to have had a number of neo-Nazi elements within it. And apparently there is some truth to the neo-Nazi claim with regard to what's going on in Ukraine. Okay, fine. But the fact of the matter is you got neo-Nazi elements right here that we're not dealing with. So there are neo-Nazis almost everywhere that you can imagine. Ultimately, though, to me, the conflict in Ukraine boils down to the fact that, and Mama Trudy said this, Vladimir Putin is an international bully. Vladimir Putin poisoned people in Russia. He poisoned people in London. He has imprisoned people for speaking out. He's basically an international bully. And not going too far back into my childhood, I long ago developed a real disdain and dislike for bullies. Now, Trump's a bully, too. Many U.S. presidents were bullies in the past, and many times the United States itself acts as a bully. And the United States has a hand in a lot of the manipulation that we are subjected to also. What are they? They're showing now pictures in the street It's actually something my wife pointed out to me, of dead Russian soldiers as a result of the resistance of the Ukrainian people. I mean, you know, Miss Ukraine is out there holding a Kalashnikov. A former world champion boxer, Vitali Klitschko, done strapped himself up, and he's going out there. The president is saying, I ain't going nowhere, hand me my gun. But we're all inspired by that, and then we see the pictures of the dead Russian soldiers, and some of us say, all right, yo, okay, they're fighting back. But who were those dead Russian soldiers? Basically, what they were out there doing is they were fighting for, to use a term from a science fiction show I was watching a little while ago, they were out there fighting for whoever was guarding their flank. Most of the time when you send a soldier out there onto the front, they're not necessarily fighting for the great leader. They're not necessarily fighting for the political ideal. They're fighting to keep themselves from getting killed and keep the person next to them, left and right of them, from getting killed. That's essentially what those soldiers are out there doing, which is, I think, one of the reasons why you never see the leaders out there with a gun.
Amen.
They're the ones, they make the decision, and then they send a bunch of young kids who want to be able to make it to their 30th birthday out there and give them a gun, and because they know that they will follow their orders without question. Manipulation again. Now, in the political front here in the United States, Brother Vernon mentioned it, how you've got a lot of these instances where it seems that many of us are quick to jump into certain places that maybe we should not be. You take a look at the Supreme Court when Clarence Thomas was put in. You had all these right-wing, I'll just say right-wingers, who were more than happy to have Clarence Thomas, the man who almost single-handedly destroyed the Equal Opportunity, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission before he got there, and to put him in the Supreme Court. You've had people like Candace Owens, who've been all too ready to kiss up to Donald Trump while essentially dogging out someone like LeBron James. You've got people who essentially are opportunists. They themselves have allowed themselves to be manipulated, so there's that word again, into doing, for want of a better term, masses bidding. And finally, I figure if we want to avoid being so manipulated, number one, sure, we got to come together as a people. Everyone says we got to come together as a people, and oftentimes it doesn't happen. Part of the whole deal is listening to each other and reasoning with each other and sharing information with each other so that we are not so easily manipulated, and then getting together to work on how we will work for ourselves, build for ourselves, and fight for ourselves. Because those same people who are out there doing war against each other right now, some people call the Russian and Ukrainian war enemies falling out. If you see the Ukrainians as neo-Nazis and you see the Russians as fake communist imperialists, because they're not really communists, they're not really socialists, they're imperialists. If you see them fighting each other, some people look at that as enemies falling out. Okay, they're doing that now. But when time comes, not only will they use that crisis to manipulate us, but when they get tired of throwing knives and bullets and other projectiles at each other, eventually they're going to come after us. So we have to be prepared for that. We have to be prepared with knowledge. We have to be prepared with systems that will assist us in working together in a cooperative manner. We kind of be ready to support ourselves when they won't and protect ourselves when they attack us.
All right. Brother Leroy, you want to say something, sir?
Well, I'll just add this. Good evening, everyone, to what the discussion is tonight in regards to, one, I know we were talking about having a conversation about us or other ethnic groups spending money in our community. They're not going to do that. We all know that, because here's the thing. They won't come and spend money in our businesses, but they will accept us spending money with their businesses and try to take us away from spending money within our own businesses, because that's taking money out of their pocket. So you mean, you know, and I had someone say that, and I was like, yeah, these folks are not willing to take money out of their pockets, of course, to spend money in our businesses, and they want us to spend money in their businesses. And we have to understand that. Until we grasp that concept that we need to be spending money within our own businesses just like they do, there's a very small percentage of other ethnic groups that may spend money with us. You know, and even when we talk about our communities, we got to be careful because we don't own the businesses within our community, the majority of them. They're owned by someone else, and they take that money and pour it into their community.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to see that. That's one, to understand that and what we need to do. And we've said it all the time. I say these two things. One, we have everything that we need in order to do what we need to do. And then two, no one's coming to save us but us. And until we get that concept that there's nobody coming to save us but us, that we will continue to be that gerbil on that wheel, just running and running and running and running and not accomplishing anything. So that's that. Now, to talk about just really quickly the Russia and Ukraine, I was watching, his name is Dr. J.C. Johnson. He's actually a professor over here at Morgan State, but he comes on MSNBC usually sometimes during the week, but then mainly he usually has a conversation with the young lady Tiffany on Tiffany Cross. They do a thing on Instagram together. But he said something that was really, really – he explained everything that was going on over there right now between them, and he said this. He said that when the Soviet Union broke off and Ukraine became its own country, he said Vladimir Putin was fine with that because the regime that was in there was doing everything that he wanted them to do. He was cool. He was like, y'all go do your thing, y'all, you know, all of that. He was good with it. But when this new regime came in and they were like, hold up, wait a minute. No, we want to join we want to join NATO, and we're not going to put up with you having your thumb down on us anymore. He was like, no, And I tell you, it was something funny. A young lady put on a post talking about Russia. She explained it. She said it was like an abusive relationship. She said you had an abuser that was abusing their spouse or whoever it was. And the spouse was trying to leave. Like, no, you ain't going nowhere. You're going to stay right here. I'm going to keep you. So they put it in this very simplistic terms. And I looked at it like this because I think of everything in terms of chess. And I thought about the game of Risk when we think about land. And if you look at where Ukraine is the connector between Russia and I think it's Poland. It's connected to, along with some other countries that are right alongside of it. And it's very strategic. And Putin doesn't want those other countries, you know, us as one, to be over there and to have missiles over there, of course, in the Ukraine. So, and he doesn't want those allies that the Ukraine would get if they joined NATO, in addition to what's going on now. But something, Cliff, I don't know how much you, Brother Cliff, I don't know how much you follow it, but my buddy was telling me that a lot of the folks that were with Putin are now supporting Ukraine and everything that's going on over there and stuff like that. So it's crazy. It's nothing but the game of Risk and nothing but the global gangster, you know, gangster stuff. You think about gangs. This is all gang territory. I want that territory. You know, I want that territory. No, you can't have that territory. All of that stuff on a global scale, if you ask me. I think that's what it is, and okay. it's crazy.
Yeah, because, you know, it reminds me of when the Cuba crisis, the United States was going to have Russia nowhere near the United States. So, you know, mm-hmm. but now it's in the reverse mode, kind of speak, you know, so they do it, like you say, it's a chess game. And because, you know, NATO and the NATO nations and all of this, but, you know, it's a lot more, it's a lot of moving parts that takes place. You know, just like in our situation, I'm talking about black folks in this country. It's a lot of moving parts to us. Sometimes, you know, there's systems in place against us, but the system use us against us. And then, you know, and then they use the media against us, and then they take our school systems, our economics. So they move all of these different parts to keep their thumb or their foot on our neck so that it makes it extremely difficult. They even separate the men from the women. You know, they do all, like that bully list, they do all of the moving parts so that we can stay isolated. And then as soon as one of us begin to really organize, they find a way to take that person down. And so that's why I believe sometimes those who have made it, and a lot of times they don't speak about it, and they'll do, but a lot of people, you know, get put down like a lot of other people. But see, people don't realize that a lot of those people who are made successful, they do put money back. They do go to other places. Like one time I read a little story about, what's his name, Jay-Z, I think that's his name, yeah. He visited Africa one time, you know, but, you know, wasn't highly publicized, but he saw children walking miles to get water. And he took millions of dollars and put it in the water system that they still use till this day. This was a long time ago. And you know, like the Oprah and everything else, see, they put money back, but they have to be extremely careful. I think they've been hit to the game, because if you do too much and get too much publicity about us helping us, then they have a way of taking you down. You know, ask Bill Cosby. You know, when you overstep your boundaries sometimes, far, you know, far as they are concerned, oh, they got something for you. And so a lot of these people are aware because they got people around them from the other side who tell them, don't you do this. Don't you put yourself out there like that. You know, we even had a guy, they called him the biggest Uncle Tom in the world. And his name was the Candy Man. What was his name? And he called himself a Jew. Little short man. Sammy Davis Jr. If you have ever read his book that he wrote, his autobiography and everything else, this man did more to bring black people into the entertainment industry. But see, they didn't publicize. He did it on a personal basis, pull people up. But sometimes we do have to get on the inside so that we know what the inside is like and how we can lift the brothers and sisters up. And sometimes we had to do it like spies. We really do. Because if you do too much in this country for us, you can act the Martin Luther King, the Malcolm X, and you go out there and be militant and stuff like that, they have something for us. Because they know that we are not that strong together. But that's why we do things look like it's above board, but a lot of the evil we, us, I'm talking about us on here right now, we have to do things very strategically. Because if we do too much out there, they're going to take you down. I do things. I don't say things. You know, I've learned a long time ago because I am into media. Yes, they watch me all the time because just because I have potential. I have potential to start stuff. But you have to know who you are and where you are, too. And some things, the simplest things in life, ladies and gentlemen, that will confine the wise, they say. You know, me and Brother Cliff talked for about an hour today. And the brothers, I mean, see, Brother Cliff is really serious about bringing us together. He's been working on this. He had been in organizations forever, national, international, and everything. And he's still fighting. He finds opposition from us, not from other folks, not from white folks. Most of his opposition comes from us. But the thing is, we are complicated people, but we are so simplistic at the same time. I was just made a suggestion to him today that, you know, since he's been in all of these various organizations, and he knows some of the stuff that broke us apart. That's why some of these organizations failed. But he knew the rallying call, too, what brought them together in the first place. The rallying call has always been unity, working with one together. Nobody has problems with that. But you know when the stumbling block comes in that, when we start bringing in religion. I'm Jewish. I'm Israelite. I'm this and I'm that. And they stick when you bring them, they stick to their guns. They ain't going to have it no other way, this way or no way. And then you bring in their politics. I'm Republican. I'm this. I'm nothing. And next thing you know, we did it. Then we bring in other stuff in there. We bring in ancient Africa. I'm a Hebrew lady, and the pyramids was built here. No, it was built over there by these people. You know, and 10,000 years ago, we fuss over that. You know, and that separates us. So why not just stick to something simple? Just unity, working with one another, and we leave all them other things out. That's on your own personal time. And see, sometimes the most simple things in life, man, you know, we make them so complicated. And like I say, God do work through his people. And God gave each and every one of you a plan. He gave you, I mean, because y'all wouldn't be on here if he did not have an interest in working with us, or you didn't care about us. You wouldn't be wasting your time with us. But Dr. Pender, you got your hand up?
Yes, I do. I was going to make a suggestion that we unite on something very simple. Tonight we mentioned the Willie Lynch letter. I think it would be good if each one of us would look as to what that principle is and pick apart that principle, each one of us.
Yes,
you know, just do some homework. Pick apart the principle that he used. Then we'll come back and reverse the script on this thing. And I'm quite sure you're going to come up with the contempt and some of its appendages, but if we did this as a unit, you know, just each one of us just take apart here and just go look at it as demonstrative as it is. Look at the Willie Lynch letter, pick it apart. You're going to find different parts in there. And what did they use? And then you have to think about this. Why do I have to run to them for appreciation and respect? I don't have to do that. We find ourselves running behind them, trying to, you know, like when we integrated the system, we wanted to be like they were. We wanted respect. You're not going to get that. Forget about it. Your mission here on earth is one particular thing, and that is to fear God and keep his commandment. That is your mission. You're not here to, you know, like, if you don't respect or don't love me, so what? That's between you and God. My mission is to do his will. See, the Bible is its content is the only hope that we have. But for right now, please, if we can, just look at the Willie Lynch letter. Take it apart, find out what the problem is. We tear the problem apart, and then we can unite, because now, that was the problem all the time. It's very simple. And look within ourselves. Yeah, we are. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great evening.
Dr. Pender, me and Brother Cliff were just talking about that. We need to look at that letter.
Yeah.
And pick it apart, because then you can see where the stumbling blocks are.
Yeah.
While
we
fall for it every time.
This broadcast, we're pick it apart. Contempt is going to be a big word. Trudy and I went into it. We look at that word of having appendages all over the place. Trudy, can you allude to it?
Looking at the principle of contempt basically says the more I know about you, the more I don't like you.
Yeah.
And that is what is like the very root cause, because when you start to look at communities and people want to take from one another, that these little fights and, you know, arguments, they on the corner or they in their neighborhood or on the basketball court, they play ball every day. But the more that they know, that's just like everybody on the call. You could probably say, the more I know about that person, I don't like them. The more they say something, I don't like them. You know, so we have to be very careful about contempt, because it is real. And basically that's what the Willie Lynch letter is based off of. They planted a seed, and we are still in that mindset. The one last thing that I want to say is other cultures examine our culture, and guess what they do? They plant exactly what you need. Do you see corner stores in the white neighborhoods? No, they're not allowed. Do you see these gas prices up to the ceiling? We have to learn how not to patronize them. They write books. They find an audience that we have not tapped into. They sell us our Timberland boots, Jones in New York. They hate us. The red, white, and blue, Polo. All of the creators of those, Gucci, all of those creators tapped into what we like, and they serve it up to us on a silver platter, and we eat it and die every day. It's a shame, and it's a travesty. We need to look at ourselves, because you want to have on some red bottoms. Who created the red bottoms? When Fubu Damon, whatever his name is, tried to create for us by us, we flipped the bird at him. We didn't give him no respect. We kicked him down the street. But we let, and I'm going to tell you, I'm very petite, so Jones in New York was my favorite until I found out that the white lady that created it did like black people. Guess what? I threw away everything that I had bought, professional wear. We have to be that serious about that. And we're not. We're still playing games with our own lives.
Well, Trudy, guess what?
What's that?
Dr. Pender, guess
what? We got to flip the script on this thing.
No. I'm going to make a suggestion. Matter of fact, because, you know, sometimes you got to use your wares. I think by next week, you know, each one of us should take a look at this and have a discussion about this Monday. Let's keep it real, you know, because if we agree that this document has served its purpose on us and has been the biggest detriment to us, then we need to examine. Okay, so you have to study your enemy sometimes. Your enemy studying you. And so we had to flip, like you say, flip the switch on them.
That's right.
And let's stick with that. I would tell them, flip the day. I've read it a couple of times years ago, but I said I had to reexamine this thing again. Because I don't think the same way I used to think either. You know, and I don't see things the way I used to see. I think we all should just take a look. It ain't that long to read, but, you know, we have to examine this thing and let's bring it back next week, because this is a thing that can live. What can kill us can set us free.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the only suggestion, because I'm going to talk about it next week, because I'm going to read it. I'm going to say something about, y'all say what you want to say about what you want to talk about, but, you know, because it's open like this. But, again, you know, it's getting kind of late, and, you know, we covered a lot of ground. But, again, you know, in closing, you know, I appreciate each of your opinions, and thank God that God gave us a mind to reason. You know, that's one of the greatest gifts God gave us, a choice. We can even reject him. That's how powerful this choice is. And we make choices, dozens, thousands of choices in a lifetime, serious choices. And I believe if we choose to be free, we can be. And, you know, no man is an island. So sometimes you choose to be free. How can I be free if my brother's still in bondage? You know, and for enough of us, like I say, we can be just like a virus ourselves. If we have wisdom and knowledge, things that can set us free, then we can set our brothers free, and they can set their brothers free, and it can go on and on and on. But it has to start with somewhere. You know, we can't, like you say, I think Trudy said, we can't be like that little thing in the wheel, just keep it turning and keep going in circles. You know, but, you know, we have to stop and really strategically plan. We heard a couple of brothers on here tonight talking about economics, talking about unity. We talked about that we have to go to work. You know, the main thing, we have to work. Faith without work is dead. And all of these things are true. But at the same time, it was also said that we have everything we need on here. Brother Dr. Leroy McKenzie mentioned that, you know, and we have books, we have knowledge, we have military on here. We got strategists all over the place. But, you know, but like I said, But strategically, we're going to have to come together. And Brother Cliff got the well, sister's not his. But you know, they used this years and years ago. And it worked. Systems do work if you work the system. So we have to create our own systems, work with one another, and we can't worry about what Joe ain't doing or your cousin or your brother ain't doing. We need to do it. The man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror. And if we do it, then everything else will fall into place. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate each and every one of you. And tomorrow night, we will be back on with Kathleen Murphy, speaking about the National Black Unity News. And we coming upon that time. The articles are due. And let me say this about the National, in closing. Much as I love y'all and respect y'all, you know, this thing's been around for a long time. But if we don't work the paper ain't going to work either. And we need to start sharing this paper with everybody we know, because this is the outlet to get us from where we need to go to. It's just another tool in our arsenal that can help each and every one of us. And we all know that media is a powerful tool. Like I said, we own less than 1%. We very small in this, as long as we've been here. And unfortunately, a lot of our brothers and sisters in the media, they have been caught. That's why we encourage you to do these podcasting, to get your word out there by any means necessary. And if we all continue to do that, yes, we can make this paper so popular and so powerful. But at the same time, while the paper's circulating out there, we can bring in other media, like that's the thing, like the world system and economic systems and everything else we can use. Like I say, everything. Well, I was listening, but like, I hope y'all hear what I'm doing, say, because like I say, people listen to it. You know what an iceberg is. You know, you just see the tip of it sometime in the water. Just the tip of it. But underneath it, vast, wide, deep, and much purple. All you see is that little thing. That's all you think it is. And that's what the paper is. That's exactly what we are. All you see is surface. But you heard about some powerful systems tonight that's already tried to be in place. And we don't need a lot of people. All we need is each other right now. And it'll grow. Just like I say, if we grow, just us, if we grow it, we put ourselves on this well and we support. But guess what's happening? It's already done happen. With the paper, guess how many people are working together doing this other thing because they met through the paper. There's just another system in place. That's all the paper is, a system. And we have to use our own systems. And if we do those things, like I say, two or three are gathered, we can do things. Me and Cliff will be doing some wonderful things together. You know, because it from my perspective, Brother Thomas and I are going to do some great things together. Dr. Pender, true to all of us. You know, we got plans. We got so many things on our agenda that we can do for us. I've seen Dr. Pender talk about the churches and we gather them together. You know, we got a lot of things that we can do and we should do, but we need a system. We need to have all of these things in place. And you know what? If God gave you these plans mentally, spiritually, then they can come to fruition. You just have to take the time, jot them down, orchestrate them, and the people will come. They will come once you put them in place. And so next week, this is what I'm going to be talking. I'm going to be talking about Willie Lynch, like that letter, because I need to renew my mind on it. Because, like I say, so many things are taking place, and not only on the outside but on the inside, our own people, it's killing us just as much as the other system is. And we have to stop that. Yeah, we got to do it. I mean, it's life-saving. And we have to teach our children, because they've fallen right into those traps the way we did. And like I said, it's a revolving door. We got to stop that. And we can. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I have much love and respect for each and every one of you. And Vernon, y'all want y'all to continue to see your prayers up for Brother Vernon, because he lost his mother as well as his aunt. And a week apart, you know, in the funeral. When is the funeral?
This Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah, and I can send out the information in a group text or something.
Oh yeah, I've seen something online today, and you know you got my full support. Yeah. And, you know, much love and respect. It's not an easy thing to go through, but yet, even though he's going through that, he still showed up. You know, yeah. It's a sign of a soldier, you know, a brother who's committed. Mm. And, you know, and we need each other in good times as well as times like this. And so, Vernon, you know, you have my love and respect, sir, and God got you, man. So, you know, and we got you too, man. So, you know. Just hang in there, you know, do what you have to do, and don't be afraid, man. But, you know, we had these men discussions, you know, men cry, men grieve, and I cry. I'll be the first one to admit to it. I do. I cry like a whistle in a heartbeat because I need to release. And it's good to know that you got people around like my brother. So I can go to them. I cry on them, too. I cry on them. Yeah, anybody know me? I cry on you in a heartbeat. Because I learned that you can't hold these things in. That stress and that hurt and that pain will kill you. And it builds up on you. It causes, I mean, people don't even realize the body. It makes you sick. I mean, mentally, physically. I mean, you had all, I mean, and that's why I went through a lot of things in life, because of stress, holding things in. And so sometimes you say brother to brother, sister to sister, to brother, sister to sister. Find somebody. Got to let go. And don't be afraid of who you are, because you know who you are. And because you cry about this, they may go tell somebody, that's on them. But, you know, you did that in confidence. It's, you know, out of love, and you were sharing. So don't worry about that. You know who you are. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bid you all good night. And Brother Thomas, thank you for hosting this tonight. I appreciate you, sir. And matter of fact, I'll talk to you about that too. Everybody already know.
Hey, just handling it, David. Just handling it.
Okay. All right, sir. But in any case, you know, because like I say, you know, sometimes strategically, we all need to be this. We all need to be students. You need to learn from one another. Cause like I said, when one man go down, the next man needs to step up. I don't care what we're doing. We need to prepare other people for the journey. Because we never know in warfare, soldiers do fall. And time gets to all of us. So if you have some wisdom and knowledge and you're holding on to it, man, write it down, put it in a book, share it with somebody, put it in there with your family. Like I said, we have to tell our own story. And I'm going to shut up. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Take care.
Good night, all. Especially Vernon.
Good night. Good night. Thanks.
Good night.
Thank you,
all right. Good night. Brother Rico, I see you there. How you doing, sir?
Fantastic, Brother David. Peace and blessings.
Hey, Brother Rico, I need to talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I mean, tomorrow afternoon. I got to go to the dentist tomorrow. But I hope I can talk when I come back.
Well, just give me a call, sir.
Yes, sir. All right.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Goodbye.